Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for maybe the return of Christian Gonzalez, Keith?
I'm definitely ready for the maybe return of Christian
Possibly.
Gonzalez. I'm personally very ready. I don't know how ready he is or how ready the team is.
If it was up to him, he'd be out. Didn't you hear him?
Yeah, no, he would have played last week for sure.
If it was all him, he'd
definitely
be out there.
Played.
He wants to be
out there.
They'd
hold him back.
Why wasn't he out there?
Well, it's a tricky injury. I don't know if you've heard this, Jones. The hamstring?
Hamstring.
Hamstrings are tricky injuries. He wouldn't say if he had a setback or not, so we're just led to believe it took him 8 weeks to come back from a hamstring injury. But here we are. But all sides, like, everything that they're saying, Gonzalez and Vrabel and this whole buildup is now you better play on Sunday. Right? Like, there's no reason not to play this Sunday.
No excuse.
Yep.
I mean, unless there's another mysterious flare-up. And
it's possible.
I've already said, I'm not ruling out. He gets out there for a first series and like, ooh, I felt it barking at me there, coach.
And runs back in.
I better go have a seat. I'm not ruling that out.
But he still needs to play well this season to make the kind of money he wants. He can't have a full lost season. So at some point, you have to get on the field, and at some point, you have to be all-pro caliber Christian Gonzalez. You can't just milk this thing throughout the whole season and then expect that payday to still be there. I just don't see how that could be a possibility.
So, best guess, is he playing?
Yes. Yeah. I think, Wade Vrabel was sort of asked about it yesterday. We played that live where he's like, that's the plan, kind of ramp him up. And then whether there's, semantics or half-truths in the, I wanted to play, and Vrabel being like, it was my decision to play or not play him, I should say, last Sunday. He got 3 practices last week. He got another one yesterday. He's trending towards 6 straight practices. Yeah, I think he plays on Sunday. Now, how much he plays, that's very much to be determined. Like, is it right back in 100%? Hey, go out there who even knows if Tet McMillan's going to play? And that's the only guy worth a damn that they have that's a receiver, but he didn't practice yesterday. But is it just, hey, go out there and shut him down? Or is it just go out there and let's kind of get 50, 60, 70% of the snaps and go from there? But no, if I had a bet, he's playing on Sunday.
Okay, busy day today on Jones and Keefe. You can dial us up at 617-779-7937. That is your phone and your text number. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along and chat on YouTube.
YouTube, baby.
Subscribe to WEEI. Yeah. Always a healthy, healthy chat going on YouTube. So get in touch there. We will get to the Red Sox later on. Magic number down to 1, Keefe.
1. One is the number.
It's been honestly a very mildly relaxing week. I thought
it's
this was going to be
easy, actually.
A nightmare.
Yeah.
Almost too easy.
It started out the first 4 innings of the 2 nights ago's game.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, this is what we expected. 1-1 going into the 6th inning, kind of, grinding out that game. Then they take the lead. They go to their bullpen, which was Nails. And you're like, okay. And then Garrett Crochet, Nails. And you're like, oh.
Garrett Crochet, and then the
Astros can't win. And
Garrett Crochet spotted to a giant lead.
Yeah.
Awesome last night. Not fatigued whatsoever.
Now I'm like, wait, is the division still in play?
Are they, Keith,
can they win the division now?
Keith, they don't even need to win tonight. By the time they
might
get
not
on the
even
field,
need to play. They don't need to show up.
They don't need to show up for 4 more games.
Right.
So, man, I thought this was going to be a tough slog. Turns out they're moonwalking their way into the postseason.
Like, legitimately, the division's still, like, nobody's clinched the division.
No.
They could win the division. Now, they're 3 games out. It's very unlikely, but I'm just saying.
But
the way things are going.
So we'll
never
get to
say
that.
Never.
Coming up, Rob Bradford is going to join us as he does every Thursday. That'll be at 12:30 today.
Nice.
Brad Flo getting off a flight So we'll talk to him 12:30. High noon, we're going to go on the clock. We'll tell you how the Patriots can beat the Panthers in just 60 seconds each.
That's all we need.
I got some personnel moves in mind.
I figured you might. Yeah.
I imagine you do as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll get to that at high noon. All of your plans on how the Pats beat them as well. Plus a key for madness for you at 12:45. So stay tuned for it. Big day, by the way, here at WEEI.
Every day is a big day, Jones.
Congratulations to
Mom
Courtney Cox.
That's right.
How about
Very
that?
Excited. Little boy. Little dude on the way.
I did hear they did the gender reveal.
They did a big gender reveal, which I was a little disappointed because I heard there was cupcakes, and I got here. Don't see any. I thought maybe you'd make enough for the
you
whole.
Check the fridge?
Make enough for the whole team.
Keith, I checked the fridge?
I've been banned from the fridge. Oh, I got scolded from the
Especially
fridge.
If it's Courtney's cupcake.
Yeah.
Keith takes one.
Good point.
I thought maybe make enough for the whole class is what I would say. When you're supposed to bring in a sweet treat. So tomorrow, shout out to Georgie. Georgie's birthday. She's going to be 3 years old tomorrow.
Are you going to? Wow.
Correct, yep.
Congratulations, Georgie.
Yep.
You're bringing cupcakes for the whole class?
No, donuts.
Donuts for the whole
bring
class.
Bring them like donuts for everybody.
Ooh, I love that.
Enough for the whole class and the teachers.
I like that.
Because you don't want to be selfish. So anyway, congratulations, but maybe next time more cupcakes.
No, but a sincere, heartfelt
congrats. Yeah, no, that's exciting.
Big news, big day there, and, lives are changing, all for the better, besides in the sleep department.
Oh, my God.
But
Speaking of Georgie.
Everything else changes for the better outside of your sleep.
Yeah. Not to scare Courtney at all, because every kid's different, as you know.
Yeah.
Georgie will be three tomorrow, has never once slept through the entire night.
I've told you this, I've told you this. Lucas,
Do you know how many days that is? It's like 1,000 days she's been alive.
Now, you have the two. It all clicked for Lucas sleeping like a 4 and change.
Okay, yeah, right.
So you're getting there.
No, I know. We got like another year because we had another friend that was saying the same thing. They were like, oh, yeah, like this one was a nightmare. But at four, we're like, oh, okay, so one more year of this?
We've talked about this before, but I personally love the parents who go, oh, all right, we at 12 hours,
oh,
right?
Put him down at 7, wake him up at 7.
Seven to 7.
Cool, dude. That's a cool story you have.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you shared that cool story.
That's what sleep-deprived parents want to hear, is that your kid sleeps 7 to 7.
And anytime we've brought this up on the air, too, I do appreciate everybody that offers suggestions. Like, we've just done nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, have you let him scream it out? Oh, have you given him a melatonin? Oh, maybe take him outside. Okay. We just stare at the kid all day. We're like, go to sleep.
We're just sitting here on our phones and just ignoring the child.
Yeah, we don't even parent at all. Yeah, and then we're like, it's time for bed. Why aren't you asleep? We've tried everything. My wife's done like the sleep studies at the hospital. She's all like gooped up to like stuff. Oh, it's insane. And then that was the craziest part of the sleep study was like, we're going to need her to sleep for like 3 or 4 hours to get a good reading. That's why we're here.
Yeah, show us how to do that.
They're like, oh, so she'll be super comfortable with all these like stickers all over her and stuff and like tubes. They're like, yeah, she should sleep like a baby. Like, so that was a bust. The whole thing's a nightmare. But congrats to Courtney, though. A little bundle of joy on the way. Should be awesome.
How's little Benny sleep back there? He snoozes.
I'm not.
He's a 7 to 7 parent over
there. Since day one, he's been very good at sleeping through the night.
7 to 7. Wow.
A little over two, we could still get a nap.
Look, Billy's
that's nice.
Billy's just a better father. That's all. I mean,
that's what it comes down to.
I don't know what to say other than Billy.
A better father. I mean, I stay in bed while my girlfriend gets up and takes care of the kid.
Yeah, Billy.
I don't get in the way.
That's smart. That's a good thing.
It all comes down to who's a better dad, and Billy just knows how to get this kid to sleep. But congratulations to Courtney. Big news there. If you missed any of it, Odyssey app, use the rewind feature and check it out. It's on socials as well. You can go check out the Greg Hill Show, Courtney as well. Meanwhile, Christian Gonzalez, we both think needs to be back.
We're going to see him.
We're going to see him this weekend.
That's what I think.
And he is, started to lash out just a touch. Now, he was led in this direction. And I always find this to be an interesting dance with the beat writers down there. It's like, you know what they're saying about you out there. What do you think of the narrative out there?
You're like, who started this narrative? Maybe you guys that write on your stories?
Well, maybe them. Yeah. I wouldn't leave out Vrabel either. Like, you guys ask Vrabel about the whole story that he blew wide open when it came to, like, you guys can ask Vrabel that instead of just slinking in with Christian Gonzalez and being like, hey, did you hear what the meanies are saying about you out there? But Gonzalez was asked about the media narrative, which has grown, about him being soft. Here it is.
Did you express to him that you wanted to play?
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course. I mean, it's, you know, I never don't want to play. So, I mean, that narrative that's out there is I don't know where people get it from. But, I mean, all I want to do is play football. So, I mean, we talked about it and we came up to a decision, and that's what it is.
I know you guys tend to block out the outside noise, but how disappointing
was it for you to hear that narrative,
Rochi?
I mean, it didn't really disappoint me. I mean, it's from a lot of people that have never stepped foot on a football field, so it didn't really disappoint me too much.
Okay, so he at least said, he took a little shot, whatever. People who haven't taken stepped on a football field, that would include me. Mac Jones did that to me once.
I'm not sure. Have you, played football?
Wow! We didn't even talk about that. Nick was ready to go with that one.
Good line. But there also are former football players in the media that have said similar things, but whatever. You don't want to take their word for it either. That's fine.
No.
So the last time he spoke, he was asked if there was a setback. He said no. Or no, I'm sorry. He wouldn't confirm nor deny whether there was.
Wouldn't answer that.
So now you're like, all right, so it takes 8 weeks to come back from a hamstring injury. Fine. Yeah, everyone's unique, right? So maybe your hamstrings take twice as long as everybody else's. Uh-huh. That's fine.
So anyway, Christian Gonzalez said whatever. He said he's not that disappointed, but said, it's a criticism from a lot of guys who didn't play the game.
Yep.
Fine. Mm-hmm. That's fair. That's mm-hmm. accurate. Was it a fair narrative about Gonzalez taking his time coming back, contract, soft, all that stuff? Was that fair, or is that now dead and buried if he's back this weekend?
Well, I think if he plays and he plays well and then he stays on the field the rest of the year, we will forget about it. But in the meantime, I'm guessing Mike Vrabel and the Patriots thought he was going to be back sooner. Now, this is one where it's a little bit tricky because if he went on IR, you free up the roster spot, but then you're forced to miss four games. So if he plays in the fourth game, you could argue, well, they kept him around. I don't even think they have 53 guys on the roster anyway, right? Aren't they at 52? And so they're like, we didn't really need the roster spot, and we got a game out of him. We got an extra game out of him. So it could work out. But I don't know. There's been some weird back and forth, and Mike Vrabel's right at the center of it, talking about contracts and things like that. So I think as time passes, hopefully this will be sort of a non-story. But right now it is a story, and let's see where it goes.
100%.
If he gets banged up again, in the middle of the season, a real injury, but does he do the same thing? And he's like, I got to protect myself, so I could be back in a week, but I'm actually going to be back in 3 weeks.
100%. It was 1,000% fair narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's weaselly of the Roachies of the world to go down there and be like, how disappointed are you with this?
Maybe that's his tactic.
That's my gripe. My gripe is with the beat writers and not with Gonzalez. If I was Gonzalez, I'd be mad too. I'd be taking shots too.
No, go ahead.
But I think it's fair to wonder where he's been for 8 weeks, especially when Burt Breer says he dug in and there's been no setback. Especially when the initial report was he should be out there week one.
Yeah, right.
And especially when his coach, before he even got hurt, brought up his contract. I think it's fair. And we are going to be analyzing every tackle, every situation where Gonzalez goes in there a little bit light and makes a business decision. We're going to evaluate how he plays, and we're going to see if he stays on the field. And that includes this weekend. I think all of it's totally fair. And if Gonzalez wants to punch back, that's fair too. But in the meantime, wondering where he's been for 8 weeks. When other guys have had hamstring injuries and come back, Mike Evans has a hamstring injury every year. He just had one. Let's see how long it takes him to come back. It's a guy with chronic hamstring issues. Let's see how long it takes for him to come back.
Yeah, okay? They already said 3 to 4.
Well, let's see.
Yeah, no, I know.
Keith, hamstrings are dangerous.
You don't want to
rush people back.
They can be.
And
you're
so,
right.
He suffered it in a game. Let's see when he's back. Let's just monitor that and ask the question. But Gonzalez claims he wanted to be out there last week. Yeah. He always wants to play football. Mike Vrabel, on top of it, claims the exact same thing. It was my call. We had to save Christian from himself because we didn't want him to rush back out there. I made the choice to shut him down, and I'm not buying any of it. And let's see how it goes. I hope he's back. I hope he plays well for 14 games, plays at a high level, and then give him the contract. But if he doesn't, it's still all on the table. None of that's done.
No, it's still a guy who we think is going to be great and has had a great full season. He's played 20 games. He's missed 17. I think it is, right?
Yeah, you gave us these numbers yesterday.
Yeah, half the games he's played, half the games he's missed. And also, you need to see it done. Some of these guys that have gotten these huge contracts played pretty close to 3 full seasons, and you knew they were really good. I bring up the example a lot of Devin McCourty, who ended up being a great, great player, but a great, great player at safety, right? He had one really good year as a corner. Second year, he wasn't as good as a corner. Then they had to move him. So it's you need to see it. It's why these rookie contracts are the way that they are. You're not just going to immediately give the guy $150 million guaranteed based off of one good season. You need to see a little bit more out of it. And he slow played it. But at the very end of the year, if we look back and you're like, hey, he played 14 games and maybe, fingers crossed, a wild card playoff game. Okay. That's me. Good enough.
Gladly
pay
him.
Yeah, I love it. That's fine.
Be happy to pay him. And by the way, Gonzo's standing offer to return for 10. Now that he sounds like he's going to be back, standing offer to return for 10 questions.
Yeah. Here's a hard question I have to ask.
I don't know what we do with Christian Ellis and Hunter Henry in that scenario. Is that what you were about to ask?
Here's my question, and I'm not trying to be this is going to come across as like a bully or a being mean.
Okay, now be careful, Keith.
So Christian Ellis, good guest, nice guy. Honestly, nice guy.
Very nice.
He didn't really play much in the second half.
No, not so much. He got benched.
He got benched.
Yeah.
If the playing time is divvied out similarly this week, is he still going to join us? And I'm only asking because...
All right, I think we'll go to the next question.
All right. I'm just saying, like, if he comes on the show next Monday and he hasn't really played, like, is that even fair to him, would be my point. Therefore, swap out the Christians. Christian Ellis, maybe take one off. Christian Gonzalez comes back.
Yeah,
that's
already
a ridiculous question.
Half of the marquee is already... It's already safe.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, okay. Right. Well, that's
I'm
a good question.
I'm just asking.
That is a good question. Yeah. We'll have to circle back to Patriots PR and see what they have to say about it. 617-779-7937. We got all your thoughts here on Christian Gonzalez. Will he play? Will he not play? Was it a fair narrative that he's soft, that he's worried about his contract? Is it all put to bed if he's out there this weekend? We'll get to all your feedback on that. Red Sox later on in the show. And let's get to the quarterback. Drake May, good question posed to him yesterday. He's top 10 in a lot of statistical categories. Does he care? And how soon until Drake May is a top 10 quarterback? Let's get to that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you anticipate being able to ramp up Christian Gonzalez this week in hopes of him possibly playing Saturday?
Yeah, I think that's the plan. You know, excited about his efforts and willingness to get back and work hard and practice last week. And then again, made a decision. I made a decision at the end of the week that just, I think we needed a little bit more time. That's what happens when you start this return to play and you practice and you work hard and then you know, see how you respond and then to make a decision if you're, you know, if that player's, you know, ready for a football game. And we felt like that he probably needed a little bit more time and hopefully he'll be ready to go. Excited to see him and everybody else practice today.
How great an impact can he have for you guys?
Well, I mean, I think we need all our best players. You know, you've said this numerous times here. Your best players have to play good in order for you to have a chance to win. And so Christian would be one of those players. And we just need to try to get everybody out there that we can get out there. Hopefully he progresses well throughout the week and he can help us.
Mike Vrabel yesterday on Christian Gonzalez. Do you expect him to play? Do you not expect him to play? You can discuss. I do like the people who are like, hamstring injuries are tricky.
They sure are.
Make sure you get him out there this weekend. It's like, I thought they were tricky.
Yeah.
So it's like, I
a wait and see approach, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Get him out there.
It goes real quick from like, oh, when he's ready, he's just ready. And there's no more take your time with the hamstring injury. Sounds like he's going to play to me. And I'd like to see him out there. Mm-hmm. That does not put to rest any of the narratives about his contract or how much he wants to play through injury. 8 weeks with a hamstring injury. Just measure that up against some other players. Most of the ones who need more than 4 weeks go on IR. He never did. So, I don't know.
Do you think he'll play next year, week one, without a contract?
Without a contract?
Yeah.
Hell no.
Yeah, the same. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think so.
I also think if he goes out there and plays 14 games in your scenario.
Yep, he probably should get one.
I think he will get one.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so I don't know how realistic that is, but... Then again, we're talking about the Pats. So maybe.
Exactly.
And guess what?
Speaking of.
Robert Kraft just got an influx of cash and or needed some cash, depending on how you look at it. This happened during our first segment of the show.
It's not about finance.
Robert Kraft to sell a minority stake in the Patriots to a private equity firm.
Tom Brady?
Not
Tom Brady.
This is according to the Sports Business Journal. Okay. Private equity firm Sixth Street, who you may know.
Yeah, that sounds very familiar.
From their investment with the Boston Celtics, along with the San Antonio Spurs. I think Barcelona. It is FC Barcelona.
Ooh, FC Barcelona, good club.
So they are bought in with minority investments in a number of different organizations. Now, I've seen a few different percentages out there.
$1.429, $626.
Yeah, 8 or 9%, it seems like.
Well, I see private equity firm
5 or 6.
7 or 8.
Sixth Street has a deal in place to acquire 3%. But then the deal is part of Kraft's plan to divest 8%. So maybe Sixth Street isn't buying the whole 8%, but that, Kraft is going to put up 8%. Is that what it is?
That's how I read it.
Okay.
Yeah, so Sports Business Journal had a story earlier, and it just said Sixth Street will acquire 3%. This is part of Robert Kraft's plan to divest 8% of the franchise, which is now valued at over $9 billion. Approval is expected to be between October 21st and 22nd.
Okay, so a number of professional sports franchises are doing this.
This is kind of common now.
It is. I still didn't necessarily expect to wake up today and see Kraft selling a portion of his team, 8 or 9%, whatever
well,
it is.
No.
So I didn't expect that, and it goes back to a conversation we just had 2 weeks ago. When Tom Brady was in the booth, sitting there with the headset on, Raiders game, Monday Night Football, I'm like, don't you wish that was Brady here?
Yes.
And we asked Curran about it 2 weeks ago. Curran's like, well, no, they didn't want Brady here because they weren't going to take pennies on the dollar for their deal. I know you have other theories about that, which we can get to, Keith.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Would I rather sell to nameless, faceless Sixth Street and have Robert Kraft make money hand over fist? Or if you're selling a piece of your organization anyways,
right,
sell it to someone like, oh, I don't know, your son, your fifth son, Tom Brady. But Robert Kraft didn't want to do a deal. And I'm not telling you it's a bad business decision. It's a great business decision, I'm sure. I'm still disappointed. If you're selling a minority chunk of the team, sell it to Brady. Don't sell it to Sixth Street.
Is part of it because if Tom Brady's in the owner's box, Tom Brady gets all the attention. And if you win the Super Bowl, Tom Brady's on the field. Everybody wants to talk to Tom Brady. Tom Brady becomes and remains the face of the franchise.
So not only is it about squeezing every penny out, you're already worth $9 billion for something you bought for, I forget the number off the top of my head, $140 million?
$37.21. Right. Yeah, I think that's how much he paid for the Patriots.
Whatever it was, you've already made so much money on this, but whatever you want more, that's fine. Capitalism, it's America.
Over $1.2 trillion.
So not only are you squeezing out every penny, but now your ego can't handle being overshadowed by Tom Brady.
I think that's part of it, because I think it's one thing if you're like, we're just not going to do it, we're going to keep it only solely in the family the whole time. Okay. I respect that. You made a great
business.
Yeah, you made a great decision years ago.
Josh Kraft certainly needs some money after spending a lot of it on his own, mayoral.
Give it a shot, right?
Candidacy, yeah.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, so he took a big shot. No, because I'm not one of these like, oh, just because a player was really good for a team, that player should then go into the front office or own that team or whatever else. No. Tom Brady is very much sort of the exception. Tom Brady is the greatest football player of all time. And wanted to do this and wanted to get into ownership in the NFL. And the Patriots, that wasn't an option just a couple of years ago, but the Raiders were. And now he owns the Raiders, and he's clearly very involved in it, talking to Chip Kelly, sitting in the booth, the whole thing. And you're like, all right, you have a statue of this guy out front. And he owns the Raiders, the team that you beat in the Snow Bowl?
Look,
very strange.
We're not questioning the business acumen of Robert Kraft. Maybe we're questioning if he can handle the ego check a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But as a Patriots fan, he's selling 8% of the franchise, 9% of the franchise, and he's already made money hand over fist.
Now, I guess the question would be this.
Wouldn't you rather it be Tom Brady?
Yeah, of course. Now, obviously, money is the most important thing in the world to many, many people. But would, 3%, what does Sixth Street pay 3% of the team? And I guess you could crunch the numbers, right? If it's $9 billion.
So just that 8% alone would be $72 million. So divide that amongst 5% or whatever.
No, it'd be like 720.
Yeah.
Oh, would it? Then I missed the zero.
Yeah.
Big math show.
It's $9 billion. $9 billion. But anyway, what Sixth Street is paying for 3%? Could Tom Brady even come up with 3%?
Probably not.
Right.
So, I mean, look, Curran said, we asked him this two weeks ago, or whatever it was, 9 days ago. And he said they're not going to take a crummy deal. there's also other pieces that come along with Tom Brady. Like, maybe people would like you again, and maybe people all of a sudden would start trusting the organization again. Like, there are pieces to it that aren't just about the bottom line. But whatever, I think most fans would like to see Tom Brady back with this organization. That ship has sailed.
Good Keefspiracy on the text line. Could there be a fear of getting called out for salary cap manipulation during Brady's discounted salaries over his career? And then you were like, hey, would you connect the dots and be like, you promised him ownership of the team?
Maybe the league's like, woo! Maybe the league's like, no chance.
Yeah.
No chance we're allowing Brady to get part ownership.
I guess.
On top of the sweetheart real estate deal he's already
got. The league
obviously, no chance.
But the league obviously wants Tom Brady very much involved in the league. He's allowed to own a team and call games on Fox. Like, they want him super involved in the NFL. You'd think he'd be involved with the team that he made put on the map.
Yeah, just trust his ethics, Keith. Yeah, Keith, when it comes
Everybody else is being very distrustful.
When it comes to Brady and his ethics. So again, the news here, Robert Kraft selling a portion of the Patriots, 8 or 9%, different reports out there. 3% of that is to Sixth Street, who also is part owner of the Celtics, so let's get to know them.
Yeah, they're cooking something up.
And it's not to Tom Brady. So how do you feel about that, Patriots fans? You can discuss 617-779-7937. Good business deal for Robert. Can his ego not handle it? Would the league not even allow it? Good Keefspiracy there. Again, you can weigh in. Brady is a top one all-time quarterback.
He is.
Drake May is hoping to be a top 10 current quarterback, and in some metrics, he already is. He was asked about this yesterday. Here's Drake's answer.
You're top 5 in passing yards, top 10 in touchdowns. I'm just curious, do you pay attention to the stats? Does that stuff matter to you at all?
I think winning matters to me. I think that's what the main goal. Why you play, why I play this position, why I play this sport. I think, quarterbacks, the ultimate kind of stat is win. So, I think that's the biggest thing that I focus on. And if that's throwing, 10 touchdowns in a game or throwing one pass in a game, just trying to win.
You believe him? The most important thing to me is winning. Because if it is, he's kind of stunk at it.
I think it's just the he knows that that's the right answer. So I give him credit for that. Like, that would be if he was taking a test and the question was, what's the most important stat for you? Wins. Wins. If you're a quarterback, you have to say wins. I think with a lot of guys, even Tom Brady, we saw this in 2019, it's wins with yards and touchdowns. And, you want to be, you don't want to, he's lying when he says he wants to win and throw one pass. Mac Jones threw three passes in that win over
point.
The Bills.
It's a great
basically
point.
Like, it proved that they had no ability in him.
I'm sure Mac said that after that game. If we went back and looked at it, I'm sure he's like, wow, the only important thing is winning. And that was the divide. That's where the divide. It wasn't Patricia and Judge.
Right.
The divide with Bill and Mac Jones started right there, that win game in Buffalo.
I'm telling you, Tom Brady is the best example of this, because if any player ever you thought only winning was the most important thing, you would say Tom Brady. The guy's won more than anybody else. And you remember Rob Gronkowski was doing Fox, I think, that year or whatever. And he's like, Tom Brady is the most miserable 8-0 quarterback in football.
Great
point. So yeah, but like, both can be true. Like, you can want to win more than anything else, but you want to be a part of why you're winning. You don't want to watch your team win, but hey, I'm on the team for it. So like, I don't really truly believe him. It better be on the list. It better be high on the list. But no, you want to be out there throwing touchdowns, running in touchdowns and things like that.
Real quick on Drake May, who already is top 10 statistically in a bunch of categories this year. Is it realistic to expect him to be a top 10 quarterback by the end of the year?
No, that feels a little high. I think there's an opportunity for it, because similar to teams in the NFL, like, there's like, five great ones, five terrible ones, and then everybody else in between. And it's sort of like a week to week thing on like where they are. I feel like that's probably the case with quarterbacks. We did our tiers, way before the season started on quarterbacks. And there's sort of like that top four. Now, one of them's Joe Burrow, so cross him out. So if you want to say he's not included in the top 10, that moves everybody else up one.
Right. We'll still know Burrow's better than him. But
there's a big giant.
In the meantime, he bumps up a couple of spots.
There's a giant middle pack where on a daily basis, I'd be like, yeah, Drake May's better than Geno Smith. But was he week one? No. Like, he's better than Tua. I think he was better than Tua. Like, I think, is he better than Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, but he didn't get the head-to-head win against Aaron Rodgers. So there's like a lot of guys that he kind of flows back and forth. I personally would be happier with, not happier, I would be satisfied with top 15. If you're like, he's a top half quarterback after year two, I'd feel good. Top 10 is tough.
More realistic.
Yeah.
For sure. Meanwhile, you can discuss again the Robert Kraft selling a portion of the Patriots. One thing I just read, and I don't believe we mentioned this, and I hadn't seen it till now. the investment might go beyond just the Patriots. It might be all of, you know, Kraft Enterprises, including real estate.
The Revs?
Around Patriot Place and the stadium. So maybe all Kraft Enterprises is not accurate. But
the paper company that Jonathan was dealing with during the Vrabel press conference?
But it could be like
Mayo press conference?
Patriot Place and Gillette Stadium and some of that as well.
Okay.
So we'll continue to monitor this throughout the day. Breaking news during Jones and Keefe. Let's continue with the Pats talk. Drake May, how soon can he be a top 10 quarterback? Do you believe all he cares about is winning? And on top of that, Christian Gonzalez should be back this weekend. We got Pats talk on the way. Red Sox talk, rather, on the way at 11 o'clock. Rob Bradford going to join us at 12:30. Kiefer Madness for you at 12:45. And we'll go on the clock. How do the Patriots beat the Panthers in just 60 seconds? That's at high noon. But on the way next, you happy with the returns on Steph Diggs to this point in time? We'll do that coming up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The ball is getting spread around. You know what I'm saying? You can kind of look at it as far as like the numbers. You know, we got players, we got playmakers, we got guys that can play at a very high level. So I try not to give it too much. Like, you know, you want to give guys some grace. You know what I'm saying? We still some young guys, still a young team. So growing pains. You know what I'm saying? Things going to happen out there. You know what I'm saying? You got to kind of just roll with the punches. Like, I've seen it for a long time. It's still early. You know what I'm saying? You're going to look at the top guys in the league right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure they're trying to get the ball just as much as everybody else. So it's just you gotta roll with the punches. I think we'll just be just fine. We got guys that can play at a high level. So, you know what I'm saying, just take what comes with it.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. That was Stephon Diggs yesterday. I got to be honest, I was pretty happy with the way Diggs answered most of the questions about his role in the offense and how involved he is and is he getting enough looks. And, you know, it was a 10-minute scrum in the locker room, and I think they tried three or four different times to circle back with a similar type of question, and he gave you a bunch of different analogies. You know, I just got to eat what's on your plate. He's like, "Now I'm going to eat every crumb." He's like, if you give me something on my plate, I'm eating every crumb. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
But he's like, you just got to worry about what's on your plate. Deal with that. I'm not worried about what other guys are doing. It's still early. I liked most of his answers about the looks he's getting. Mm-hmm. I don't know if truly he feels that way. Similar to Drake May, he's like, all that matters is wins. I'm not sure I fully believe him, but if you're out there and you're playing the media game, he doesn't sound annoyed.
No.
He doesn't sound frustrated. You made the point, Keith, 2 weeks ago that we're coming off a win over Miami. That's a hard time to complain.
Right.
A bad loss to Pittsburgh, that would be the time to do it. And I give him credit. I didn't really think there was much to read into or read between the lines on when it came to Steph Diggs, and is he getting enough involvement in the offense?
So, yeah, honeymoon period, I would say that we're still in. I think he is, to this point, he's been a good teammate. Like, I think we all want a little bit more out of him on the field. I'm sure he does as well. Last game's a weird one, though. Like, if you're on the offense and you want to complain, you only punted once. Like, your problem was the guys couldn't hold on to the ball. And so I guess there's always the off chance he starts ripping the guys for that, but I don't think he's not going to do that.
Good point.
But you know, like the offense was, when it wasn't fumbling or the one pick, like they were moving the ball pretty well. The one thing I think he's very well aware of his stats. We know that he is. He talked about it at his first press conference, and even this year, I don't know if he's right when he's like, it's early in the season, which is true. But he's like, a lot of the top guys in the league are still like looking for theirs. Not really. Like, so if you just look at yards, he's currently 77th in the NFL in yards.
Yeah, we did this after week one. We're like, 57 yards. Actually, he outperformed a lot of guys.
He's dipping, though. Like, he's on pace for a 650-yard season.
112 yards in three games.
And it's, like, less than 9 yards a catch. And that's fine. He is a possession receiver now. But I'm just looking at the...
And targets, by the way, have gone 7-5-3.
Right. like Puka Nacua. I'm going to throw some names out here. Puka Nacua, Malik Nabers, Jamar Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Zay Flowers, Garrett Wilson, CeeDee Lamb, Devontae Adams, Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill are all in the top 20 in receiving yards. So some of those guys are off to better starts than others. Some of them, you know, are maybe behind the pace that they would want to set, but they're still at least getting the ball, getting in the end zone, things like that. Like Steph Diggs is not at that level.
Most of the names on the list you just said, yeah. I'd have to think about Jefferson. I don't think he's had like a blow up game, but even Tyreek Hill, those guys might all have more yards in one game than Diggs has on the season.
They could. Yeah, they could. Jefferson up all have 200 or more yards, whereas Steph Diggs right now is 112.
Trey Tucker definitely does.
Good point. Trey Tucker in one game, way more than that. So look, I think he's saying the right thing. The only thing that I was a little curious about is a line that Drake May had about Steph Diggs.
Yeah, you know, we try to put him in circumstances where he's, you know, getting the ball and an option to get the ball on big plays. You know, had a big third down catch. The first third down we had, I should have thrown it to him. Little things like that. We had a fourth down against Miami. He's making plays, so he's in positions on you know, key downs to make plays. And I'm got full trust in him, and he's just keep showing it every week. And he's trying to get him the ball more. I told him that, you know, today.
Try to get him the ball more. I told him that today.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
okay.
He should, though. Like, he is still, I think, the most reliable receiver. We've seen some good from Kayshon Booty, don't get me wrong, but I think he's the most reliable as far as running the right route, catching the pass, getting what's there. You know, if you threw the same pass to Diggs as you did to Pop Douglas to end the game, you would have gotten the first down.
Oh, yeah.
His awareness is just so much better than any of the other receivers. And so maybe he doesn't get open at the same rate that he once did, but if you put the ball on him, he's going to make plays. And I think even the question that led into that answer was about, you know, the catches that he does have usually are leading to first downs, right? Like, he kind of knows where the sticks are. He knows he had that awesome catch week one, right, you know, tapping his toes before going out of bounds. So, yep. Like, he's good at all that stuff. And so he should get the ball more. And whether he's even asking for it yet or not, McDaniels and Drake May should utilize Diggs more. They definitely should.
So you can discuss Steph Diggs and his involvement here in the office. In the office, rather.
Also the office, but the offense, too.
On the offense, thank you. But a reminder, Football Talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount+. Plus, Sylvester Stallone back in the original hit series Tulsa King this season. Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. You can watch the new season of Tulsa King, now streaming exclusively on Paramount+. Robert Kraft selling off some of his empire, Keith.
Mm-hmm, he is.
8 or 9%. Looks like 8%. I'm reading here from Axios. 3% going to Sixth Street. People keep texting that's Bill Chisholm's company. That's not right.
No.
They are buying a portion of the Celtics.
But they're also involved in the Celtics deal.
Yeah, but yeah. Bill Chisholm is STC or whatever it is. Yeah. It's not. People keep texting that. That's wrong.
Stop texting it!
Focus
on the road.
The other 5%, though, Keith,
yeah,
are going to not Tom Brady.
No?
An individual named Dean Metropolis.
What's his real name? Dean Metropolis?
His real name, I think, is Charles Dean Metropolis.
So it sounds like a guy that was a fan of the New Adventures of Superman, because Dean Cain played Superman in Metropolis. So he just went with Dean Metropolis.
His folks immigrated from Greece when he was 10. He settled down in Watertown. He went to Babson. Okay, so he's a local guy. I'm sure he
Watertown, Babson.
Sure,
all right.
I'm sure he went to the bleachers and watched the Patriots. Nick was in here joking about that earlier.
Okay.
So 5%. Now, he's best known for Hostess Brands and Pabst Brewing Company is where he's made his money.
Oh, hell yeah.
We're going to get some PBRs.
I spent a few bucks on both of those products.
I'll go down there and get some Peebers.
Yeah.
I missed this when I was reading up on him in the break, although Ken beelined right in and was like, there's a very interesting fact about
very knowledgeable
Dean
about
Metropolis. Yeah, it's almost like he knew it off the top of his head.
Uh-huh.
He's like, isn't he the guy who his kids bought the Playboy Mansion?
How is that something you would know? The Playboy Mansion, by all
which,
accounts,
by the way, Ken nailed it.
He was right.
His sons, Evan and Darren Metropolis, the Metropoli boys, purchased the Playboy Mansion for $100 million in 2016. Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
Wait, 2016?
Yeah.
So I was just looking at it. So Hugh Hefner was still alive, then died like right after that, right?
Yeah.
You take his mansion away, what chance does he have?
That's a good point.
That was like the back the tank for him. That was the only way Hefner was able to stay alive was the magic of
what
the
else
mansion.
I'd be curious what else came in that agreement. What else comes along with $100 million? Some robes?
Oh, you probably get a few robes. A
couple of robes, cigars.
James Caan. You get James Caan as well. And probably like a venereal disease would be my guess. Yeah. I bet you get a... Yeah. I wouldn't want it. To me, it's a poor investment. But listen, I'm not going to tell the Metropolis how to spend their money.
If I bought that first purchase after I buy the Playboy Mansion carpet steamer.
Carpet steamer.
Yeah, yeah. I make sure deep clean. Yeah. I want to get in there with a deep clean.
You get one of the three bunnies.
The inspector comes through. He's looking at the roof. He's like, take a look. I need to get a blue light in here. what's going on in this place?
Yikes. So anyway
Ken very knowledgeable about
him running down the hallway to tell us about it.
All real estate deals involving the Playboy Mansion. But yeah, that's the Metropoli children, Evan and Darren.
Does that guy live in the Playboy Mansion?
Well, there's two of them.
Does Darren Metropolis live in the Playboy Mansion?
Well, I don't know why you're shortchanging Evan. But yeah, they probably live in bunk beds in there.
I just binged Playboy Mansion owner, and boom, Darren Metropolis pops up with a picture of him. Kind of looks like a guy who would buy the Playboy Mansion.
He does? Yeah, does. So anyway,
not to paint with a broad brush.
Charles Dean Metropolis. Dean Metropolis is now 5% owner of the Patriots and his kids who own the Playboy Mansion instead of Tom Brady. Which
it's now used for corporate activities, which is slang for something.
Oh, we should do a show? Fantasy draft there next year. Oh, yeah, well, a road show, but like, let's do the fantasy draft there. That's a corporate outing.
I'm sold. We just got to talk to the Metropolis brothers.
We should get a deal on it.
I think we should.
And now that with Patriots Friday, Patriots Monday.
It's true. We do.
Yeah, roll that in there. Throw them some ads. We can do that.
You might remember us from the surprise question of the week with Hunter Henry. Can we do our fantasy draft there? Like, what?
Okay. So
interesting.
That's the news on Robert Kraft again selling 8% of the Patriots. None of it to Tom Brady. So you can discuss 617-779-7937. Again, a good business deal, I'm sure. Maybe his ego couldn't handle Tom Brady and getting some of the cutaways there.
That's the guy that owns the Playboy Mansion. Right here, you see him? So good for him.
That's real hair. I think that's real.
For sure my real hair.
Yeah,
spent a lot of time on this. I don't know. If you had $100 million, I could think of probably 100 million things I'd do with it other than buy the Playboy Mansion. But,
well,
you know, what are you going to do?
Good investment. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your feedback coming up. Let's get to the Red Sox, though, huh? Magic number down to one.
Oh, these guys are rolling.
6 days from hell turned out to be pretty relaxing. Pretty easy. Almost too easy.
It's like six days in heaven is what this has been.
Like a day at the Playboy Mansion.
That's true.
So how far can the Sox go? Let's get to it with your thoughts next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.